Hello and welcome to our inner healer recording. I almost forgot the name. I was trying to remember it, and a whole bunch of other names for the recording was coming in, and I thought to myself, yeah, this feels like there's some change that should be taking place as we move through the next couple of months, so it'll be fun and interesting to see the name that will be given to these recordings going forward, and if I will still continue to keep them separated because it doesn't feel like we're needing that to be the case anymore, as everything is now in more of a quantum connection. Yeah, that's what it feels like. So this is for the class gathering for Wednesday, September 24th. Yeah. So a couple things I wanted to just share with you from my own work that I've been doing on myself and also with some of my client sessions. I am noticing that guilt is coming up for a lot of people. The idea of guilt, shame, even some betrayal. And that is the energy that we are navigating right now. We are in this shame, guilt, and betrayal energy. And because of the fact that the whole collective is once again playing this act, this scene in the play of the awakening, the great awakening, we could call it, right? And the whole of humanity is playing out this enormous role. Everybody is being impacted. Everybody is feeling it. And what's not really understood, because for the most part, most focus is on the outer world and what is unfolding and what is taking place. But what's not in focus or understood here is that this is offering us all an opportunity to heal and clear any unresolved residual trauma from any time in our past, in our childhood, or any karmic happenings, exchanges, creations in our lives now, and also in parallel realities. And I've talked to a lot of people over the past 2 weeks who are feeling highly emotional, dealing with some kind of feeling to where they are not yet in their life, or what has not yet evolved or moved forward for them. And there's many out there. Some of you are dealing with having a great awakening to the relationship that you're in that's not highly functional, that really requires a step back so that it can be seen for what it is and the roles that you and the other person have been playing so that you can shift. It's not about them shifting, it's about you shifting, right? The responsibility is us. It's our responsibility for what the soul is here to do or to play out. And every single one of us are here to have an experience in this earthly playground that gives the soul an opportunity to stretch itself. And we play into games such as, there's good and bad, right and wrong. Many of you are aware I'm living in Florida, and no, for the most part, I feel like I'm living my best life right now. I'm really just enjoying myself, and I have so much more freedom than I've ever had at any point in my life, which can be a little scary and daunting because it also means that I can allow myself to become overly relaxed and overly lazy and not want to do anything or go anywhere because the only person I'm in service to is myself, right? And sometimes I have to push myself to get out, go do something, which is why I take Lasagna for a drive as often as I can, at least every other day, so that he's not bored and it gets me out of the house because I'm a homebody. I like being home. I'm not really that big of a travel bug, although I feel like I could travel more. But anyhow, we play into the game of where we're living, right? And create these concepts for ourselves. And then, like myself, moving here, finding out from an astrologer that is a client of mine that I've actually moved on to my Pluto line. Living in New York was neither detrimental nor beneficial. I didn't really foster exciting experiences. It didn't. And it didn't really give me super detrimental experiences either. I mean, the fact that I was married three times and then, lost everything three times and had to rebuild myself, I wouldn't say that was quite detrimental. It's not like losing your family in a tragic fire or something like that. So I don't look at it in that respect. I look at it as an opportunity for me to find my inner strength and resolve moving forward. But New York was, kind of neutral. It was neutral territory. Like I was never going to thrive there, but I also was not going to fall on my knees. And I never did. I always trusted the universe would have my back, and it always did. And now here in Florida, I'm on my Pluto line. And, people I've heard on YouTube and from other people and other astrologers, they're like, oh my God, that's going to be so hard for you living on your Pluto line and complicated. There's also Jupiter too, which Jupiter is, benefic. It's a beneficial planet. However, when it's with Pluto, from what I understand, instead of like, smoothing Pluto out, it magnifies whatever comes up with Pluto, which I'm noticing when something does present, and nothing is monumental, but when something does present, it requires me to take a step back and sit down and be quiet and reflective and have conversations with myself that are very telling in the idea of why I'm thinking the things that I'm thinking and where they're coming from. And we're all going through this, but what's happening to me is, and this is the reason I'm sharing it with you, is because that living on the Pluto line here is really making me see a lot of things with great clarity. Things I probably wouldn't have seen as clearly living in New York, but here it's quiet. The road is very quiet. I'm on this 5-acre property, which is a homestead, and Joe's not here during the week. He's only here on the weekends, and so it gives me a lot of downtime by myself and a lot of time for reflection. And if you've been following my Instagram page, you would see that things are starting to show up in quite magical ways. The dragonfly tapping on the door 2 or 3 days ago. And then last night, a praying mantis of all things, a praying mantis tapping on the door. And then I get to videotape it and share it for everybody to pick up those codes. And I wrote a little bit about it. Praying mantis reflects back to us a stillness. Either we're in stillness or we're not in stillness. And it's reflecting back to me where I am in tremendous stillness, journaling and doing a lot of deep inner work, just self-discovery inner work, not inner child inner work, not shadow inner work, right? That's old. We're not going backwards. We're just reflecting on the now. We're reflecting on where we are now. Because that old work, that old stuff, those patterns that take you back into your childhood, that just keeps you cycling back there. You never get out of it. It's a karmic loop. It's all karma. But anyway, so what I'm seeing is that the more I reflect on the positive and the higher, and we all know this. We all know this. We've talked about it for years and years and years. But the more that I reflect on the positive, the more that's showing up. And the more I'm reflecting in a way of connection, especially with these little creatures, the more connection I'm forging with the people in this community because we're all like-minded souls. And then some people that are clients of mine that I haven't seen in years and years are popping up, especially after me posting the dragonfly and saying to me, I had an experience where a dragonfly flew into my house and I was trying to figure out the message. And here you are with the message. And I was like, well, somebody has to be the messenger of the meaning of the dragonfly. And, the universe is choosing me and I'm hearing the call, right? And that same likeness, I've been feeling really strongly pulled to make sourdough bread because the bread here in Florida is god awful. It's awful. There's no good pizza down here. There's no good food anywhere down here. And I'm not saying that I'm being mean. I'm just, I live in a very rural area. It takes me 40 minutes to get to the grocery store. I'm not near a Michael's for craft supplies. That's about an hour and 20 minutes away from me. I'm not near a Home Goods or a Marshall's or any of those big stores. I don't have a Whole Foods around here. Everything like that is in Ocala, which is about a hundred an hour and at least an hour and 20 minutes, an hour and 30 minutes away from here. So I only have to work with what I have to work with. There's no real big fancy restaurants. There's a Mexican place that's halfway decent. I mean, like there's only two dishes on the menu that I really care to eat. But anyway, my point is that I've been wanting to make sourdough. It just keeps coming to me. It's not like I'm looking for something to do or trying to figure out what to do. It's just showing up for me, and then all of a sudden, because it's showing up for me, and I started to look at pots because my sourdough Dutch ovens, because mine is in storage so deeply buried under all the stuff in the back of the storage thing that I don't have a way to get to it, so I was thinking bare necessities, just a pot, a basket to let the dough rise, and that's really it. Like, I don't really need too much, and but I just need the Dutch oven to cook it in, and that's pretty much it. And I was thinking I could get one off of Amazon and just, get that in a basket anyway. And then all of a sudden, Diana from our community shows up and starts talking sourbread in a message to me. And I was like, well, if this is not synchronicity and a message about making sourdough bread, the universe is conspiring and smiling down and going, yes, it would be good, Maria, for you to make some sourdough bread, and it would be, very purposeful because you are needing better bread because I can't get that here. So I take it as a sign, and I take it in heart, and I allow myself to settle in knowing that that is part of the pathway. It doesn't have to happen today, but it's going to be happening soon, and that's what I'm feeling. And then a couple days back, I'm seeing something from a woman in Ireland, and I felt so incredibly connected to it. I saw it last September, but I just didn't want to go there and make the purchase of it because I knew I was moving. I knew I would have to pack it. And I just felt like, why even bother? Because I'm not gonna be able to use it. I'm gonna have to pack it. I'll probably forget about it. And then all of a sudden, she popped up in my YouTube feed, and I was just like, oh my gosh, there she is again. And guess what? She's advertising the same thing, not advertising it, but like sharing the information on it. And I thought to myself, this is so funny because I was just thinking about this the other day, and now she pops up, and here she is. And then, as I'm smiling and ruminating on this, then Liz from our community, who I've known for an extremely long time, has been a client of mine and now a dear friend for an extremely long time. And then Liz pops up, and the other day she sends me a message sharing a story about a woman that she met in a local place who had a heavy Irish brogue. And she was telling her something about a book, and it had to do with Ireland. And Liz was so excited. And she said, I just love sharing this type of stuff with you when magic happens and I run into magical people. So I felt like I needed to share it with you for whatever reason. And I thought, oh, isn't that in its perfection? And how I was thinking that I need to get this thing from this woman in Ireland who lives in Galway. And I feel so connected to her, like so connected. And I have a history, I guess, from, parallel realities for Ireland. And here is Liz bringing this prompt through with her message from this random woman who shows up for Ireland. And now I'm like, okay, sign from the universe says yes, go do that. And so I did, and I'm excited, and I'm looking forward to what's coming my way. And then these little synchronistic moments that show up, just messages that are coming through for so many different things, so many different things coming from so many different places. And things showing up for me that I did not even ask for, but are so wonderfully synchronistic that are happening that I could not make happen if I wanted to. In other words, one of those things is that now that it's gator season down here and Joe is not doing processing anymore, we have to l lock the gate and keep the gate locked so that, some random person's not coming in here and dropping off an alligator, and then Joe has to deal with them and tell them to come pick it up. And so His uncle's been coming over for Sunday dinner, and it's really been nice because we've just been the three of us, and sometimes there's four of us, and we're just hanging out on a Sunday, and I'm making some things I haven't made in years and years and years and years. And so his uncle says one day, we're sitting under the pole barn, he says, "You know, it's a real pain in the neck for you to have to get out of the car, drive to the gate, get out of the car, open the gate, drive through the gate, get out of the car, shut the gate, chain it locked, and then get back in the car and then take off again." He's like, I wonder what the deal is with the motor that Joe had on that gate and how come it's not hooked up so it's remote controlled and you just open it and close it with the remote control." And I said, "I don't know. I never asked him. I wouldn't know anything about that." And so he said, "Oh, I'm going to look into it and see what the deal is with that." And then somehow magically, last Sunday, I forgot all about it, but last Sunday, magically, he showed up for Sunday dinner and before coming in the house, had the gate up and running. And now I have an automatic opening and locking gate that I didn't even ask for, but makes my life so much easier that I could just use the clicker. Get in the car, gate is open, drive through, click the gate closes, and off I'm on my way. Everything is just falling into place in this very synchronistic way that is showing up in the miraculous. Now, why am I sharing this with you? I'm sharing this with you because I am not watching the outer reality at all. Okay. There is a very, very, very large flat screen TV in the living room here. There's also one in my bedroom, which I've disconnected. If you know me, you know me. And the one in the living room, I don't turn on. The only time it's on is when Joe is home on the weekend and he's watching his shows. Sometimes I'll sit with him and I'll watch the shows with him. But other than that, I never turn the TV on. And lately, I can't stand to have social media on my phone either, because if I scroll through to see who's making what kind of art lately, I'm also getting all the political crap, right? I'm getting artists who have a political opinion, you know, who's for this, who's for that. Sourdough people, who's for this, who's for that. And I had to step back for a second, and this is the most important part of our talk today, okay? And I hope this really lands, and I hope this helps those of you that are needing to understand this from this perspective. But no matter what timeline we choose, right? That's outside of ourselves. If I choose, and for a second, let's just use the Charlie Kirk incident again. If, and there's a bazillion plus timelines available on that, right? Because there's the one where he dies, there's the one where it's CGI and he doesn't die. There's the one where he was really shot, but it looked like he died, but he didn't really die, and now he's in hiding. I mean, there's a bazillion different timelines out there. And I could pick the one where I hate Charlie Kirk, wish he died. I love Charlie Kirk, wish it never happened. I think this is all a scam, and I see right through it, and that CGI. The next timeline could be something like, you know, the government is corrupt. This is happening. That's happening. Blah, blah, blah. I wish we could go back to better times when I didn't know any of this or none of this was going on and it seemed like things were easier, right? There's like 10 million bazillion different timelines we could be accessing, anything. And I think it was a movie, and I can't remember the name of the movie. Might have been a movie called Lucy. I'm not really sure where she's like takes a pill, is otherworldly. I didn't really see the movie. Takes a pill, otherworldly, and now she can see strands of timelines in front of her, right? And she's able to reach out and touch those strands that are dangling in front of her, that are lit up in front of her. And she's able to sort through them and see which strand is really, what she wants to engage in. And then she can choose that one and she enters into that story. This is all the same way. It's all the same, right? If you're looking at something that's happening beyond the space that you reside in, you're doing the exact same thing. You're going outside of your dwelling to choose a story, to choose a reality that you want to align with, and then you play out that story. But at the end of the day, what you're doing is if you've ever read a book and the writer of the book read the book, wrote the book, maybe three or four times, and each time, each book has a different ending to it, right? It's the same story, but it has a different ending to it. And you pick up one book and you read that and you're like, oh, I don't like the ending there. And then you pick up another book and you read that and you're like, oh, I don't really like the ending there. Well, it's the same thing with life, because every time we tune into something that's outside of ourselves, we're tuning to something that is offering us an opportunity to experience whatever it is that we think we need in tuning into whatever that storyline or narrative is, right? And if we look at the reality of how life works, the reality of how life works is that there's nothing outside of the place that we reside in is real. And even some of the stuff in the place that we reside in isn't real, but outside of the place that we reside in is definitely not real. Okay, I find myself sitting sometimes on the sofa and I'm staring out the window and I'm thinking to myself, like, if I know that that reality that I'm looking at that's outside of the window that is being created by my thoughts, is there a chance that tomorrow I can create it just a little differently so that something shows up for me and reflects back to me where I shifted that reality outside the window in some way, shape, or form? Because that's how pliable our reality is. That's how bendable these energies are. If we start to think everything is showing up for us to help us, to assist us, to keep us on track with where we're headed, then that's exactly what happens. Because then the situations like the sourdough with Diana and the connection to Ireland that shows up with Liz, and then the dragonfly has to show up, and then the praying mantis has to show up. And, I have a lizard that I've seen outside. Usually he's on my welcome sign outside the door since I moved in here. And because I talk to him every day, I warn him when Bella is outside because she already took his tail off once. It's growing back now, almost in its fullness, and I really don't want her to do that to him again. So I tell him whenever I'm letting her out, I'm like, hey, lizard, cat's out, cat's coming out, so he knows. But even that has shifted, because when he is on the sign and he's looking at me or he's on the house, there's a reflection in him. That's me. Like, I see it showing up for me, the reflection of myself as the lizard. It's the craziest thing. And in the same likeness, the dragonfly and the praying mantis, and each one of you. Right? And as I show up for you show up for me. And I might be showing up for people that I haven't seen in years or talked to in years that see me post something on the dragonfly, and the dragonfly taps on the door, tap, tap, tap. It's very faint, but I hear it and I'm like, what's clicking the door out there? That's interesting. And so I go and I look because I feel prompted to go and look. And it's a dragonfly. And I post about it and then I give the meaning, the spiritual meaning of it. And then somebody that I haven't seen in probably 5 years messages me and says, oh my God, you're making me cry because I just had a dragonfly fly into my house. I couldn't get it out of the house. I finally get it out of the house, and a couple of days later, it flies back in. And I'm wondering what the significance is. I'm wondering what the message is for me. What is it that I'm not seeing that I need to see? And then the very next day, after I sat down in my curie and asked for the truth to be revealed, you make the post. Right? And that's presence. That's the stillness. And we can't get that when we're too busy trying to keep up with the Joneses and trying to keep up. And, excuse me, I use that term loosely. It's not derogatory in any way. It just, I mean, we could keep up with the Smiths and, like with the DCs, I don't know, just keep up with anybody else, right? That's saying, do I take enough time to sit down, right? Maybe this is a good journal prompt for you. Do I take enough time to sit down in my busy day and sit down and just be one with myself and see where my thoughts are going? Like, what are my thoughts thinking? And ask myself, are these thoughts even my truth? Because I don't know that they are. And let myself feel into what is coming back, feeling into the answer of that. And then at the same time, looking at my life, right? Many of us are uncertain about what things mean or where we're headed, wanting to be more than we are. I'm getting that a lot with people who are wanting to be more, not happy with their level of success and wanting to be more. And Source always says to me, but what if you only came here to be more to one person? What if, in being you and expanding your consciousness, touched that one person in a way that you shifted them in a way that their soul needed in such a deep way that there was nothing more for you to do? That was the only reason you came in, was for that one person, right? And Source also says, we cannot be more to anyone else or outside of ourselves until we're more and enough for ourselves. So if we're still chasing people to glorify us or to praise us in some way, shape, or form, then we've stepped outside of our reality and are now residing in the outer reality where we need to be looked at as more. We need to be praised and we need to be offered love because we're not praising ourselves and we're not loving ourselves. When we do that and we come from a place within us, the outer reality shows up to match it, right? Like, in other words, I'm not here every day thinking about having to lose weight or how my hair is looking. I haven't dyed it in years. I haven't. It's gray. Okay. And when you see me, it probably looks blonde, but it's pretty salt and pepper, except for probably, I want to say, like, maybe 3 or 4 inches of it that's Still got a little bit of blonde from when I used to get it highlighted or what. And I will eventually get it cut because it's getting too long for me to manage. But I wanted to grow it out as much as possible before I got it cut so that all of that would come off and I could just keep putting it up and hiding it for now because I actually like the gray. I like the natural color of my hair. It feels better for me, right? But I'm not out there wondering when I go to the grocery store if anybody else is liking my hair. As a matter of fact, because I like my hair, a couple of weeks ago I was at the grocery store and this young girl who was probably in her 30s, right, came over to me and my hair was up in a twist and it looks like it does when I'm on, with you guys on the live class. I got a strand or two hanging down in the front. And she said, "I'm sorry, I just have to tell you, I just love your hair so much." And I said, "Oh, thank you so much. That's so nice of you." And she's like, "Yeah, I don't know. I wish I could wear my hair like that or do that with my hair." And I said to her, "Well, you probably could. You just need to grow it a little bit longer so you have a little bit more length in the back and then you could put it up a little bit." And she's like, "No, I think maybe it's the color. I think I like the color of your hair." And I said, "Well, then you're going to have to wait a couple more years, like 20 years, to get your color like this, unless you go to a salon and have it done because I'm naturally gray now." And she was like, "Oh, it doesn't look gray. It looks like almost like blonde." And I was like, "Oh, well, that's good to know, right?" So there I've manifested someone showing up appreciating me because I've been appreciating me. I've been loving me, right? But every time I see people posting, about, and I have clients that do it too, like, how, oh, people, this is what people say and whatever. That's the old stuff. We're looking outside of ourselves for people to really worship up us and, and to glorify us in some way, shape, or form because we're not perceiving ourselves as enough. It's really very important to understand the game that we're playing here. Everything is relative to the hologram that is built based on our thoughts, which become emotions. And when the emotions get tied too deeply into want and lack and need, what ends up happening is we're then deeply enmeshed in that lower consciousness, and we don't even realize it. And then, more than ever, we're still looking for that somebody to make us feel better about who we are or make us feel appreciated for the work that we do. Okay. And, God, source, the universe, the creator, whatever term you want to use, always says, "You're doing exactly what you came here to do. Not just me, but you. I'm telling you, this is what Creator says to me all the time. And I'm going to tell it to you because it is true. You are doing exactly what you came here to do. You're being the version of yourself that you came here to be. However, you stop yourself, or you end up playing small when you're not perceiving yourself as already enough. In other words, when you're looking for the more, when you're looking for the big ticket, right? The big payoff, the big expansion of business. That is resistance to what is. And through resistance, nothing more comes because there's resistance in the way. We've talked about this a thousand times. The other part of this is that we all have this idea because it's been cast into the reality and it's become something that we are all striving for based on this idea of influencers and We see it all over social media, but do you realize all of that is fake? Unless you actually know that influencer, unless you have a physical relationship with them, unless you go to them, they come to you, you see them in some way, shape, or form. It's all the illusion of the holographic reality, giving us an opportunity to exchange against the hologram, exchange against the computer system as if we were playing a video game, right? As if we could pick up another book with a different ending to it. And then we say, I want to be more like that because we think that that's what we should be doing. But at the end of the day, Creator would say, you are exactly where you're supposed to be. Why can't you perceive yourself as enough? I thought about that. I was like, oh, okay. And Creator also says that you are doing exactly what you came here to do. You're offering your soul this experience, but you're also downplaying the experience through the resistance of it being exactly as it is. The reality that we are all seeing out there is not a real reality. It's a hologram, but we have to be part of it in some way. We have to be present and show up in it, especially if we go out to the grocery store or we're interacting with people in a way that's outside of the residence that we're in, or we have children in our lives or significant others in our lives that we have to adapt to when they're in our presence. You know, it's like Joe coming home. Oh, excuse me, Joe coming home on the weekend, and it's not my energy here in the house anymore. I have to be accountable to the fact that there's another person in the house with me. However, I don't forget that I'm in a hologram. I don't forget that. I'm a critical observer, then, even more so than ever, watching what is playing out, seeing what's being reflected back at me, understanding through that reflection where I need to go deeper within my own work. So it's not a matter of just engaging in the dynamic of Joe being home. It's more about understanding my responsibility to myself and not allowing myself to forget my role as a divine creator here in the reality that I'm sitting in. When we forget, we get ourselves into all kinds of trouble because then we forget that we're creating the reality that we're experiencing as it's playing out for us. So it's really important for us to have the awareness of what is transpiring for us, through us, in each given moment. And see when you're engaging with somebody, what is being reflected back to you? What's coming back to you? Where do you have to shift? What do you have to do to go just a little bit deeper? And that's where the work is right now, because we can see it on the big stage out there playing out as people are still choosing sides, right? They're still choosing sides. So in essence, even though this situation with Charlie Kirk has created awakening on a mass level for everybody, it's still not enough, right? It's still not enough. It's still not enough because people are still choosing sides. And then some people have changed sides, but then shifted to a different perspective in that new side. So it's really gotten complicated, is a good way to say this. And I think it's interesting to watch, right? I try not to watch it too often, but unfortunately, if I'm looking for something in my feed, I'm looking for art or something like that, it comes up. So I can be aware to what's going on, not that I'm interacting in it in any way, shape, or form, because at the end of the day, I understand its purpose to the greatest level, but because I maintain my own field and maintain a different perspective, I interact with other things aside from social media. And that would be the things that are showing up to me to show alignment, right? And the mantid being was kind of funny because I was just standing out there earlier that night, yelling at the sky, going like, "All right, I finally moved here. You guys are right off the Gulf Coast. Like, how come nobody's come by with a ship? Like, how come nobody's popped into the house yet? Like, what's going on here? I remember you as a child and you were, okay being seen then. Like, hello." And then the next thing I know, he's on the wall outside my house, right? Like, just so much magic there. Like I just called them in, and it's as if it's a joke with them, laughing at me, going, "Ha, you wanted us? Okay, well here we are. This is what we could do for you right now. This is the best we could do right now." And I just thought that that was just so magical that there was that opportunity to have that experience in that moment. But the outer reality is carrying with it a lot of chaos right now. Right. And that's why I wanted to have this chat because it's carrying a lot of chaos. And that chaos is carrying a lot of energy toward betrayal, shame, blame, victim. Every time we go outside of ourselves, we're tying into that energy. And because of the heaviness of it, it's going to be even that much more heavy in our field. It would be a tremendous practice if you're not already doing it to step back and recognize where your attention is going. Recognize where your attention is flowing to. Because it's something that we don't often pay attention to and should, right? It's something that we really need to see. Not work so hard to fix something, but more remembering of who we are, more attention to who we are and what we're here to do. Because at the end of the day, nothing new can come into your reality. Nothing can shake you. Nothing can stop you. Nothing can make you feel small unless you put your eyes on it. If you're putting your eyes on something that's outside of you, then you're not creating from the space you're in. You're creating from the space outside of yourself, right? Because the most powerful thing that you can do is believe in the magic that you already possess. Believe in the magic that you already are. Don't need someone to tell you who you are or validate you. Let yourself know that. We have some really intensified energies coming. I mean, one of the things that I'm seeing too that I think is interesting is there's a couple of people that are these guys that are geophysicists that are trying to, like, some of them are predicting the weather for like the winter and all this other. And one day it's like, oh, these states are going to be extreme cold weather. They've never had it before. Like Florida, they're saying is going to have snow. And then they are like, oh, these states are going to have, extreme dry heat. They've never had that before. They're tropical, right? And then, or very rainy, like Washington, right? And then a week later, their prediction changes completely. And they're like, oh, Florida's now going to be this, Washington is going to be that, because everything is shifting so fast that if we're giving our attention to the things that are outside that are simply a distraction, we're not working with our present state of being in order to achieve what it is that we are needing to work with in order to bring ourselves forward. And that's a big part of the problem here, right? And we've talked about this in the past so many times. We've talked about this. Putting our eyes outside of ourselves is only going to distract us. And that's exactly what all of this is for, that's happening now, right? On a government level, on a social level, even in the medical stuff, the school systems, all of it. We're in the chaos of it. The collapse hasn't happened yet. Don't watch it. Pull back. Don't watch it. Every time you think you're not enough and you have to post that somebody thinks you're enough, or you have to post something because you want to be seen. I want to be seen. I want to be recognized as being a contributor to people's wellness. I want to be seen. I want to be recognized as a spiritual guide or a leader or something else. Remember that that's a part of yourself that's unhealed, that needs more love. Because again, what if you only came back into this lifetime for one person? And you didn't come back here to take the world by storm, to be the next big thing. What if that wasn't the case? What if you're only here to serve one person? What if that person isn't even outside of yourself? What if it's your niece, your nephew, your child, your significant other? Your mother, your father, brother, sister, right? What if it's your best friend? What, whoever? What if it's not the masses? What if you're not meant to be out there in front of a bazillion people, but your soul feels like it? It does, and you think it's your soul, but it's really your ego, because there's a part of you that's not yet loved. And that part of you that feels like it's not seen. And that part of you that's not seen is the part of you that needs to be loved. This is such a big time right now as we come into October. October might feel a bit challenging because of these energies that we are experiencing. It's really important for us to pay attention to what it is that we're desiring right now in this moment. And, if it is recognition, because that's going to come up on the forefront, that's going to be a very powerful thing right now, where we're going to feel into that in a very dramatic way, because that ties back to lifetimes of betrayal where we were meant to, be a speaker to millions or hold a microphone, and we had to, kind of stuff a sock in the mouth and just take a back seat and let somebody else have the floor. So many people are going to be experiencing that. So many people are going to feel into that. A lot are going to feel the pain of that as their truth. And it's never about that. It's never about being the one that could shift the millions, because by you being the one shifting yourself, you're connecting with the millions already. It's like that's why I'm trying to explain to you like how powerful it was that I was thinking of doing sourdough, and then Diana shows up and sends me a message and says, "Oh, I'm baking sourdough, blah, 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 blah." And it wasn't even like part of the conversation or wasn't part of anything, right? And then Liz shows up and now couldn't possibly know that a week ago I was like immersed in this Ireland thing and really wishing I had gotten a chance to see it when I was over in Europe. And then shares the story and says, "I share this with you because it makes me happy to do it, and I know you appreciate my stories." And then she proceeds me to tell me about this woman who is Irish. Why is that happening? That's happening because I'm tuning to my more authentic self, and in doing so, I'm connecting with more people. I'm connecting in deeper ways, like Margareta showing up on my YouTube page telling me how the dragonfly flew into her house and she couldn't figure it out. Now she knows the meaning through me. I didn't have to get on a stage. I didn't have to post some big elaborate thing. All I had to do was share the information on the dragonfly. I had to just listen to what the creator was telling me to do. Just post the information on the dragonfly. Somebody needs to hear that, right? And then today I post the information on the praying mantis, and Jen from class messages me and says, "Wow, I can't believe that. I keep seeing a friend of mine is posting about the praying mantis, and I keep wondering what it means because I see it every day now through her post, and it seems like it's showing up for me too. And here you post the meaning of it." So we don't have to go anywhere to be that conduit for other people, right? We don't need to tell anybody, because the people that need to connect with us are just going to show up randomly. They're just going to show up because. But when we're looking outside of ourselves, it's because we're in need of more self-love. And so if we're feeling that deficit in some way, shape, or form, or we're feeling like we need to tell people how great our work is, or why they should join us on our journeys and adventures, then we're going to continue to be in a deficit, because it means that we have resistance to being who we are authentically without having to broadcast it to the world. So I say, keep doing what you're doing to be authentically you. Let go of the old ways of doing things and simply sit in the energy that is you, so that you can hear the creator, feel the creator within you, because the ego is way louder than the creator. The ego is going to have you running amok, thinking all these things, and then feeling less than. Tune in, get quiet, use the energy of the praying mantis, right? And it's such a powerful reminder to be in the stillness, make that quiet, still time for deep inner reflection. Sometimes being here by myself, I feel like I'm on some kind of a silent retreat where if I don't have any clients on a particular day, the only person that I get to engage with is myself. So it gives me a lot of opportunity to really be in the stillness. And I think if we could all do that, take that on in some way, shape, or form, I know for some it might be challenging, but if we could do that, we're going to start to pull out of that fake lower reality, which is where the timeline is splitting from, and then step up into this higher evolved space that I know we all want to operate from. Okay, so I think I'm going to leave this here. If you're struggling, please don't hesitate to reach out and do a session. Let's get that straightened out if you find that you're really struggling. This is a time for us to really shift into the next stage of who we are, evolve the soul into the next highest level of being. And we can't do that if we're sitting in any kind of judgment of ourselves, especially the kind of judgment that says we're not enough. Because you are enough. You're exactly who you are meant to be right now at this moment, not needing to be anything more, anyone more. You're already seen. You're already loved. Your soul is waiting for you to give back to you what it's been offering you. Love, compassion, understanding, stillness, and presence, so you can really connect with your divine greatness, with your divine being, with your inner self and your inner wisdom, and call in the magic. When we're not present, and we're not calling in the magic, and the magic is not showing up for us, we can feel into the void of pain and suffering. And if we're doing that, it means that we're not present. We're not showing up for ourselves. So I want to encourage you, get the journal out, pay attention to your thoughts. If you realize you're thinking about something and and that something that you're thinking about is not in your highest vibrational alignment, question it. Write it out, journal it out. Why am I thinking this? What do I need to know from it? And then let yourself be present for what's showing up. It's so important right now. I can't even stress the importance of it. Wellness is your divine birthright. I look in the mirror every day and I remind myself, I don't need to age because aging is the illusion. There is no such thing as aging. It's only a program in the matrix, in the hologram that we are living in. There is no aging and there is no pain in the body. There is no suffering in the body because that's all an illusion too. Right? We've been playing the aging game. We've been playing the game of pain and suffering. Oh, you get to this age and this goes, or you get to that age and that happens, whatever. But I tell myself every day, I am strong. I am whole. I am healthy. Everything is in good order. Everything works and functions optimally. We have to remind ourselves to do that so that we're not playing in the holographic reality. We're not playing in the programs, right, that we've subscribed to, that we play into because we don't know we don't have to. So start to pay attention, see what's coming through for you, and let yourself have the freedom to be a creator in a new way. Okay. Know that I love you very, very much. I wish you wonderful whatever it is that you're doing. And I will see you again soon for our next live. Take care. Bye-bye.